Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. You are watching VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network. Don't forget, we have four programs back-to-back every day, and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
If you missed our earlier programs, you got to catch it. There's something so interesting hearing about technopoly, like the game Monopoly, and how technology, you merge those two words that Neil Postman did in his book, a professor at the NYU, New York University. And this guy was prophetic. He was prophetic about where we are today. And it's amazing. I just love that because, so if you look back on who was given dreams, and who prophesied? Because some people think because they had a dream that they know Jesus. Right. They think because they prophesied they know Jesus. Like, do you see? I'm not saying that in the post, but I'm just saying the God can speak through a donkey. But the donkey wasn't saved.
Right.
I'm just saying, listen, you can hear what God is saying when you hear the mouths of mankind. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your children can prophesy to you. Even we're hearing right around us, we're hearing God speak clearly to the point of tears, showing them what he's been showing us. And there's nothing better than hearing a child's perspective, because it's just, this is how it is. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. But we're going to continue that talk, because what he talks about in his book, Technopoly, I don't have up the full title of the book in front of me there, but how... that when you add technology, you know, technology giveth and it also taketh away. And it's technopoly, the surrender of culture to technology, but you can find out more about it on the Torch. Go to VFNTV.com.
It's an interesting statement, because many people don't think about, and oftentimes I haven't thought about, what technology takes away. You're always thinking about the benefits of what's going to add to your life, but there is significant loss when you incorporate it.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things that he talks about, and we're also going to talk about authority, you know, you know, he bears the sword for nothing. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about that in this particular program, if not in the next. But the biggest, we're not going to have a chance to talk about, part of the interview will be in the future, probably tomorrow's program. But this is on C-SPAN, so they're interviewing him, and they asked him the question, you know, of all the students that come up to you, and he had, like, at that time, 50,000 in print, mostly students in universities were reading it, understanding technology at that time. And he said, I really believe they're the ones that need to have it, because this is going to be their generation. He was right.
Wow.
This is 20 some odd years later, and they needed to understand it. And he said, what is the one question they ask you the most about? And he talks about social science, that technology is not a science, but they say it is. And it's not an exact, it's not a, you can't measure things, but look at today. We have things like eHarmony. This is what he's talking about. He said, people really believe in technology can actually match them with folks. This is 1992.
Mm. Wow.
That if this is what it says, then it's accurate. But it's not, there is no exactness to how it affects the culture. It's more ecological. When you think ecological, you can think about pollution's ecological. Or you can think about that plant life's ecological. It just grows and you watch what happens to it. You can't say it's going to be just like this, because technology giveth and it also taketh away. Well, we're going to just go into this conversation because we want to use all of our time. That even the Gutenberg printing press, we talk quite often about that was because, you know, that came at the perfect timing. I mean, God allowed it to happen at the perfect timing. That was technology at the time. And Martin Luther's thesis, I mean, you think about it, imagine this. Okay, let's give you a perspective here. There's no such thing as Facebook. Let's just imagine that, you know, I don't know, an hour ago. And so Martin Luther writes down his thesis, which, you know, you're saved by grace and not by works. And he goes and he takes it and he writes it out with an old pen, and he takes a thumbtack and he goes and sticks it on the head of the church's door. Right. Mm-hmm. And he walks away unaware of Facebook, because it doesn't exist yet. He don't think it does. Mm-hmm. And somebody else sees that and they go, this is profound. And they take out, and he didn't know it, they take out their iPhone, they snap a shot of it, they post it on their Facebook, and next thing you know, 1 billion people have seen his thesis. Well, that's what happened to to Martin Luther. That's what he's talking about, that he didn't understand that this technology, the Gutenberg printing press, was going to take his thesis and spread it around the world. But God did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gave the revelation of what we're walking out today, and we thank God for that. But also, he talks about Aristotle and others begin to use it for propaganda and just printing a whole bunch of junk out, you know.
Their own hype.
Right. And so quite often, you know, as Christians, sometimes we can be guilty of saying, well, the Gutenberg printing press is evil. It's like, no, what they did with it, mm-hmm. the thing was evil. Somebody says, well, guns are evil. No, people who use guns for evil intent, they're evil. But if you call for help, it's going to be a police officer showing up with a gun on his mm-hmm. or her side. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. And you don't see that gun as evil because that person is not supposed to be evil. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be good. And so technology giveth and it taketh away. And when he talked about, and you heard the interview in the earlier program, he said that, you know, in 1946, when television, I know this is a shocker to you kids, when television was brought to America, when it was brought into America, in 1960, you don't say, hey, all of a sudden now we have America and television, but we had a new America. And you think about that. I mean, look what happened from the 40s to the 50s to the 60s to legalizing abortion to the breakdown of the marriage, and just that totally just transformed our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Billie Jean King and all the tennis matches and things that were going on at that time and marching in the streets, and that was media. You had, I mean, TV just came out with the McCarthy hearings and all the things going on, and so you don't add television to America in 1946, and then in 1960 have America and television. You actually have a new America. So it giveth the TV, television, but then it transforms culture. It's ecological. We don't really know what's going to happen, but we know for a fact that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important because as the church, we have to understand that we cannot, and you can't, if you make technology your God, if that's your religion, and many, many people who proclaim to have a faith in God have more faith in technology, because he talks about in the earlier interviews that we had yesterday was that this is what folks are saying. Now they're saying that we have enough technology to reach the heavens now. Mm-hmm. And that's before he didn't know about GPS. He didn't know about all those different things, but understand this. This is what I wanted to get to, is that the church, which is the body of Christ, the church plus technology still has to equal the church. For example, when Jesus was introduced to mankind, we had salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went to go be with the Father, we had the birth of the church in Acts, right? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was introduced to the church. Bam! Church was birthed. Now, the Gutenberg printing press was, you know, invented. So now the church had the thesis of we're saved by grace. But we also had the Bibles, and we talked about that before. America, how we got here and how we stay here, you need to hear that. And it's probably a related link to this article. But know this, that we still, even with the Gutenberg printing press, we still had to be the church. We could not be a new church. We had to be the church. So we still had to be, in 10 years, we still had to be the church and the Gutenberg printing press.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with television, television's introduced to the church. You know, Rex Humbarg and Oral Roberts and all those crew that was around that time, and they're ministering, and people thought, I can't believe that you're going on television.
Mm.
And the question was not should you be on, you know, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham, you know, not should you be. The question is, when television is introduced to the church, in 10 years, are we still the church? Because
mm-hmm.
we still have to be the church. And so here we are today with computers being introduced to, in regards to the church, we have mobile technology, we have, you know, all this methodologies to do what we do. But the question is, are we still the church?
Mm-hmm.
Or did all of a sudden at some point, did the Gutenberg printing press become our God? Because we found out when you begin to communicate to masses amount of people, you can actually, hey, there's power in this printing press. So much so, it's part of our Constitution and the First Amendment, that the only way you can have America if the press actually stays free and stays unentangled with the government, which we're seeing them entangled now, but stays unentangled, because then the power of the printing press keeps Washington, D.C. honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's power in the printing press. So what do you do? And today we're finding out it's being used for the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but do, all of a sudden you find out that there's power in that. Do you worship that or do you still worship God? So the question is, when you have the church plus technology, when technology now has been introduced to the church, do we in 10 years, in 20 years, are we the church plus technology? Are we a new church? Are we a new church? Have all of a sudden now has technology become our God? This is what Paul was writing to the church of Rome. He said, listen, he said, do not be conformed to the technology of this world. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this culture. It's ecological. Culture is ecological thing. It just happens. Do not be transformed. Do not be conformed to the patterns of these cultures, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and know what God's will is, good and pleasing will. Understand this. It's very important how you see technology. It's very important how do you depend on technology for your life, or do you use it to accentuate your existing life? Therefore, you can have life outside of technology. You can have relationships outside of technology. Because what happened with technology when it was introduced to marriage and to family, intimacy was lost. It was lost.
Hmm.
When it was introduced to the workplace, now intimacy in the workplace is lost. When it was introduced to so many different venues now, it's pretty much what he says, and you'll find out more about it if you listen to the whole interview. He says, society's going to get to the point. This is a 1992 prophetic word that he's wrote in his book. It's going to get to the point where most people will not even have to leave their homes because they'll be able to work from their homes. They'll be able to see everything in their homes. They'll be able to function in their homes. But the one thing they're going to miss is each other. And this is what Jesus said. He said, the only way that you can really know if you know me is how you relate to the people. Do you love them? Do you love them?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
A new commandment I give you, love each other.
That's right.
You're going to have to be in relationships with human beings. You're going to have to know them. And you'll be surprised. It's not as easy to like a human being when it's not just a button to click. You have to die to yourself. But that's what God calls a sweet sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, whatever you didn't do to the least of these of mine, you didn't do to me. And whatever you did do to these of mine, you did to me. And so it's about how we relate to people. He said, a new commandment I give you, a new commandment to love each other. Well, you cannot connect with folk if you're not actually connected with folk. I mean, you don't even know if you love each other yet. Just because eHarmony said, ding, 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 match, 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 winner, 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 winner. I mean, chicken dinner, you hope, right? Yeah, click on order here. That having a true relationship with people. And we're getting further and further away. Society, the culture is getting further and further away. But understand this, the church has not ever supposed to have been further away from Jesus Christ. We're still supposed to be the church that God's called us to be. The Word of God, we got to start picking it up again and reading what God's Word says about us and what God expects from us and hearing His voice and abiding with Him, with just Him, our Bibles, a pen, and a piece of paper, and we finish that, we need to abide with each other, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Regardless of your child's performance in the classroom, they need your love and support. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller, and here's Cynthia Tobias with a timely reminder.
Your children know that you love them. Do they know what you like about them? Do they know what you have actually focused on that says, this is a strength of yours. I understand that it's hard for you because it doesn't match this, but I love this part so much. I wonder, how can we use that to help you overcome what's frustrating you in class? Because I truly believe that the greatest compliment you can give your child or any human being is that of being understood and valued, and saying, knowing the creator and designer the way I do, he made an awesome person in you. How can we figure out how to get you where you need to be?
Hear more from Cynthia about making the school year a success on our 30-minute radio program on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now. Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners and viewers out there in the Christian Television Network audience and our radio audience around the world. We were talking about Neil Postman's book, Technopoly. You got to hear programs about it, understanding that technology is a new religion he talks about, and we as Christians do not change. We're supposed to stay the same and not be transformed. You got to hear the whole thing. I do want to say, share with you what the Lord spoke to me yesterday as a fresh understanding. And when God talks about authority, and he talks about it quite often, as a matter of fact, when the centurion came to Jesus, a non-Jew came to Jesus, because Jesus came first for the Jews, that he began to explain authority. And Jesus said, hey. Silas said, hey.
Did he say hey? Is that what he said?
He said, this guy's got it. He understands. You know, in all of Israel, I don't know anybody who has the greatest amount of the measure of the stuff that pleases me the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had the greatest faith in all of Israel. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so, you know, understanding authority really helps out. And he talks about it in Romans chapter 13, because some people say, you know, God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that. And it's like, is that what he told you? Is that what he says? When did you hear that? I mean, mm-hmm. Did you check that out? Did you read the Bible? Did you find out what that? And he says there's a season for everything. But one thing he talks about in authority, established authority, he says he does not bear the sword for nothing. He doesn't bear the sword for nothing. He doesn't. And when you think about that, he's talking about authority here. God's word is talking about authority. I don't care where you are. You have to understand that God is saying through his word, through the unction of his spirit, what has been being written was that authority is given a power. It's given a strength. It's given an ability. It depends where you are and how well they exercise it. But God establishes authority. And somebody says, well, God, will God establish evil authority? Yes, he would, because of the people. If the people are evil, then the leaders are evil. If the people are good, then the leaders are good. And so often people are coming against leaders, not realizing that leader came from you. You asked for Saul. You asked for this situation. And so it's important to understand, because a lot of Christians have suffered, and I know some good people right now that are sitting in jail because they didn't understand that
they don't bear the sword for nothing. They have the ability to exercise whatever law that's fit. I mean, you look at Daniel, and you look at how things operated with Daniel. I mean, he stayed in the confines and the functions of what was going on there. You look at Joseph, the very same thing. He stayed in the confines of that, and he knew God's in control. He's in total control. And it makes me think about Josiah. You know, God was seeing the condition of the people, his people. And he said, I'm going to have to put some tough leadership over my people. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And Josiah didn't even have the word of God. His Bible was the same place that America's Bible's at. You know, obviously, think about this. 81% of Americans are not picking their Bible up. At that time, Josiah, the king of Israel, had never seen the word. And by the way, nobody was letting them know what was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And of the 19% in America that are reading the word, only 3% are actually taking, like, I'm about to talk about Josiah. And so God's going to come down. God's about to put some evil leadership over his people. He's going to establish authority over his folks. And so Josiah finds out what's going on. He goes, God's angry with us. And he responds. He looks introspectively and says that this leadership, evil leadership that's on its way, dear God, we're sorry. God, forgive. And he began to repent and ask God to forgive and begin to teach others, listen, we've been wrong. And God just puts everything on break and says, wait a minute. I'm going to establish you as a good leader. And he considered him a great leader. And God's people were blessed during his leadership. He says, but after you, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put some rough leadership over the people because they won't stop. So you can't affect the hand of God as a leader when you say, dear God, I see that this is wrong. But after Josiah, and you got to go to the VFN store and get Josiah. But understand that Jehoiakim, his son, he had two sons. The first son, as soon as Josiah dies at a young age, that his first son goes and tries to take over, doesn't work out well. His second son is appointed by Egypt. Now, here he is a Jew, but Egypt is the one determining who's going to lead the Jews. This is a God order. God is allowing this to take place. You have so many people, theorists, they're talking about, well, this is a whatever. And it's like, yeah, the question is, why is God allowing this? What have we done? And all of a sudden, so then you have Egypt renamed Josiah's son. He did away with his original name, his birth name, and gave him a new name called Jehoiakim, which, by the way, means God set man. How can the Egyptians know that God, that they're supposed to play a part in God's rule over his people? But they did. God used the Egyptians to put a leader and name him Jehoiakim, and they made a covenant with this man, and he began to put high taxation, and what you do with taxes is, if you don't have enough justification to be able to charge higher taxes, you just put new things out there. War and tragedies and medical care and anything you can do to raise taxes up because oppression's coming. And that's what he did, to pay tribute to Egypt. And so you can sit here and curse Jehoiakim. You can blame Jehoiakim. But you have to understand that Jehoiakim is God's set man. Or you can do what Timothy tells us. He tells us to pray for, or Paul tells Timothy, to pray for all those in authority over you. Mm-hmm. For this is pleasing to God. He would that all men would be saved, including Jehoiakim. All authority is established, and he doesn't bear the sword for nothing. You can't, if God establishes an authority, and you come against that authority, you're coming against what God's established, and you bring judgment on yourself. The sword, the actual physical methodology of that particular authority's way of dealing with what they're over, is going to come against you. And God's not going to, he's going to let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, you know what? What have I done, God? What have we done? I'm going to get back in the word like Josiah did. I'm going to find out, how did we get here? Because you've established, this is your set man over us right now. And knowing that, then I can pray for those in authority over me.
Mm-hmm.
I can pray instead of curse and criticize and be critical and fight against and be evil against your husband, your parents, your boss, your governor, your senator, your president, your king. You can say, I understand now, Lord, that you do establish authority and they do bear the sword. And if I don't get my act together, if I keep on running my mouth, that the king's going to hear the secrets that I tell in my tent, mm-hmm. and it's going to get back, and you're not going to do anything other than say, I told you,
mm-hmm.
you know, I told you. And the thing is this, is that we have to honor that which God has established. But if it is a rough, rugged, oppressive government, if it is that, then understand, we have to ask the question, then why did God allow this? Why did he allow this? And we'll find out that our leadership will change. Our leadership will change. Their heart will change. Everything will change when we turn our hearts back to God. He says, when evil leaders lead, people cringe. But when righteous leadership is in place, people rejoice and they're blessed and they prosper. But it's for us to turn from our evil ways. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Listen, for those in America, you need to start blessing President Obama, his family, Michelle, Sasha, Malia, and praying that God would save our president and protect them and bless them and pray for those in authority over you. And then just seek your heart and find out, God, what have we done to bring us into this predicament? And you'll find things will change.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio. And you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church. And they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties. And they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. You are watching VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network audience. We're so glad that you've joined us. If you missed our earlier programs, don't forget we have four programs back to back and 24/7. We're on 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to be able to encourage you, keeping the conversation light. And understand what that means is Jesus commanded us. He commanded us to be the light of the world. So we can look at what's happening, educate ourselves, and then we could look at God's word and shine the light of God's word on what's happening, our education, and go, you know what? We can be inspired by God's word, you know, by illuminating what's happening with God's word. And then it can inspire us to know, you know, wow, you know, there's an answer for this. But most of all, after all of that, all we have at this point is a pep rally unless it activates you. And our desire is to activate you in your marriage and your family and your workplace and your ministry and your church gathering, wherever, it's just activate you to be what everything God's called you to be. And that's our goal. That's our goal on VFN Radio and VFN TV and the Christian Television Network. We are preparing, by the way, just so you know, we just had a meeting this week. Was it this week or last week? What week is it? Is it a week? What week is it?
Last week, Bob.
Last week. And with in regards to television and radio and to understand, you know, the season that we're in, and our goal and our desire by God's grace, and I want you to join with us. I want you to join with us in praying, because God hears prayers and He answers them. Pray that God would put angels around all of the satellite materials, the antenna, the fiber optics, everything for VFN TV, VFN Radio, and all of our affiliates, WHBR on the Gulf Coast and Christian Television Network at large. Because what we want to do, what's about to take place, is so amazing that people are going to be looking for the light. They're going to realize, I've been sold a bill of goods, but I know there's got to be light here somewhere. Somebody got a flashlight. And if you'll pray, if you'll stand in agreement with us and pray for the towers, pray for the towers on the Gulf Coast with WHBR, you know, pray for the fiber optics, pray for Christian Television Network, for all the components and the satellites in the skies, and pray for the VFN TV studios, because we want to maintain. I mean, this is our desire. It's all within the will of God, what He wants to do. But from what He has shown us, if we will pray, if we will ask Him, this is His will. He would want this to happen. And He has some things He wants to say, and we're just sharing what He lays on our heart, and we're just open to what He wants to say at that moment.
That's
one thing about VFN Radio and VFN TV. It's fresh. I mean, this is not something pre-recorded. You're hearing it is right now. If I held my hand outside the door of the studios, you could look at Google Maps probably and see my hand if you're listening live. That's how fresh this is. Matter of fact, I see you sitting right there. Okay, I'm messing with you. So this is. I'm excited about being a part. I hope by God's grace that we can, but I know right now our desire is to encourage you. And if you're going the wrong direction or you're discouraged in the right direction, we want to encourage you. And if it's the wrong direction, we want to help turn you back to God and realize that He's full of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And there's hope. There is hope. Well, in this program, we're going to be talking about what does a trillion look like? What does a trillion look like? Because you're hearing people talk about debt. And they're saying it's $1 trillion, and it's like, you know, way over our heads in regards to measurability. So we're going to try to measure that, because our national debt, according to the debt clock right now, just the debt clock and just the, okay, we'll acknowledge this, is $17 trillion. So what does just $1 trillion look like? So we're going to talk about that to kind of give you some ideas and some concepts, because if you begin to measure how it really is, it'll give you a right perspective when you have a conversation with your representative. It may end up like, what are you doing? Stop. It's like, there's this commercial I remember years ago. This man is, and the whole commercial is talking about how nice his life is. He has his house. He has his cars. He has stuff and flat screens. I don't know what it was. And he's riding around a brand new John Deere lawnmower. And finally he says, well, how do you do that? The camera comes right in his face, and he goes, I'm in debt up to my ears. Because it really wasn't his. He borrowed money for those things. Because you can look at America, And you see it look like that, and you can think, wow, look how great it's doing so good now. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that we don't own that John Deere. You don't own that. Right?
Sure.
Forget about you didn't build that. You don't own
you
that.
You don't own that.
You don't own that. And you found that out. You found that out under George W. Bush when he was president, that of all the people they gave the bailout money to, you'd think they would have gave it out to the people who they say they care about, which is the people that own the houses so they could pay their mortgage, and then you give it.
They
to
did.
The bank.
They did give it to who owned
it? No. Oh, yeah, they did, right.
Yeah, the banks.
But instead, they gave it to the bank. But think about it. If they really cared about you, how simple is this? This is the wisdom of God. I give you a voucher, which you're going to pay off anyway because it's tax dollars. And you give that voucher in an envelope with your payment stubs that you're behind in your house payment, and then it goes to the bank. So the bank gets the money. And guess what? Your debt goes down. You owe less money on your house. Therefore, we don't have the crisis that we have. What do? They continue charging you your mortgage and got the tax dollars that you're paying off and not loaning you that money today.
Mm.
And it's like, I think there's a strategy going on. I think there's got to be a strategy going on. In addition to that, we're going to talk about a particular congresswoman, amazing woman from, I believe, South Dakota. And just she's so encouraging because she is just standing up for what's right. And value. She's a Christian lady. We've been praying for this. But the one thing, because we talked about in an earlier program about having the right perspective, a God perspective as Christians for those in authority. And she talks about in this interview with CBN, she talks about how God convicted her. God convicted her in her when during the State of the Nation speech, when President Obama was speaking, she realized I was praying not the way God would want me to pray for him and had wrong feelings in my heart. And she repented and she knew that God couldn't use her if she didn't change her heart towards the president. You got to hear, this is very powerful. This is an interview with Congressman Unknown. Congressman Unknown, listen up.
Well, she's a gorgeous lady. She's been called the Sarah Palin of the prairie. But South Dakota Congresswoman Kristi Noem has been making a name for herself in Washington, not just for her politics, but for her faith. David Brody has this fascinating story about this interesting congresswoman.
It's all native ground. It's never been broken.
Home on the Range, the place where Kristi Noem feels total peace, an ordinary mom on her South Dakota farm. A world away from her Capitol Hill duties in Washington, D.C.
I am 100% convinced that God created me to be a mom, and that every other job that I have or duty that I have is just extra things that he's put on my plate.
Those extra things have kept her busy since her election to Congress in 2010. She's clearly a GOP up-and-comer and made big news from the beginning.
Representative-elect Kristi Noem is going to get the opportunity as a freshman to be part of the House GOP leadership. That is a huge honor, folks.
Now at the Republican leadership table, Noem communicates the party's message to all Americans.
The president claims to be leading us forward, but his policies have us stuck.
She also represents the large Tea Party contingent that surprised Washington with major wins in 2010.
It wasn't my job to sit at that table and only tell them what Kristi thought. It was my job to sit there and let them know what every other a member of my class thought.
And as one of the few Republican females in Congress, she also takes the lead against the so-called GOP war on women storyline.
We've got to be willing to be brave enough to get out there on the airwaves and push back on it.
Noem knows a thing or two about pushing back and taking charge. Life as a simple farm girl meant hard work, attending rodeos, and singing at church. She gave her young life to the Lord at Bible school. And then, while in college, she received heartbreaking news. Her father died in a tragic farming accident.
When he passed away, my whole life changed.
She felt lost, no longer able to go to her dad.
I remember laying in bed that night, not even knowing how we were going to do tomorrow. Because if we had a problem in our lives, if we didn't know what to do, Dad always knew. I sat up for several nights. I didn't sleep for about a week and just read my Bible.
And this woman of the prairie got tough. Left college early and came home to run the family farm. Ironically, her first crisis came in the form of an estate tax bill from the IRS for thousands of dollars.
That was one of the things that got me interested in government and policy, was seeing that We had our family operation almost destroyed because of bad tax policy.
So after attending to the family farm, she entered local South Dakota politics and graduated to Washington, where she's currently working on a crucial farm bill.
I rise today to talk about the importance of getting a farm bill done this year.
Even though Christie, the congresswoman, pushes for conservative policy, as a believer in Jesus Christ, she's got something even bigger on her mind.
God kind of taught me a lesson through the several months that I was there right away that, you know, he placed me there, yes, to work on policy, but maybe my biggest job was going to be to minister to individuals.
Noam says she spends her time not just trying to change minds on policy, but trying to change hearts as an effective witness in a city with desperate needs.
The way that he's going to fix this country may be by changing people's hearts and getting them more geared towards him. And that's the quickest way we're going to get stuff done.
God did business with her, too, softening her heart toward President Obama, specifically during one of his State of the Union addresses.
I felt my heart get hardened. I felt God really convicted me. The way that I was praying or the way that I was feeling wasn't accurate, that what I needed to be doing more was praying for the president. My whole perspective changed, and I felt a real conviction lay heavy on my shoulders about the way I was praying and that God couldn't possibly use me until I started to pray how he had called me to pray.
There's no doubt God always had a plan for Noam's life, even in high school.
The South Dakota Snow Queen.
Oh my goodness, you brought that up.
Look. There's a thing called the internet, and I do research.
You got that? Oh, my goodness.
I found it.
South Dakota Snow Queen. In my defense, in high school, every girl in high school did the Snow Queen event. But, boy, what a good training ground for giving speeches about the wonderful things in South Dakota.
And how about one more wonderful blessing? Remember how she had to leave college early after her dad died? Well, last year, as a sitting congresswoman, she finally got her degree after her sister insisted.
She just said, you know, I'm surprised you never finished your college degree because you never quit anything.
It's no wonder that her steadfast determination and strong conservative backbone have people comparing her to Sarah Palin.
I think Sarah and I probably would get along if we ever got the chance to meet each other. But I do think that I just want to be Christie because if there's any other agenda there, I don't think that God will be able to use me how he wants to.
God is certainly using her in D.C. and also back at the farm.
That we would all go and be Jesus to everyone that we meet. We love you and we praise you and we thank you. In your name, amen.
David Brody, CBN News, Castlewood, South Dakota.
That is so amazing to see answered prayer because that's what we're talking about having God's perspective over authority, understanding that you're not going to change America by changing laws and policies. You'll change America by changing our hearts. Mm. And we did a segment sometime back called Inside Out, I believe it was called. But, you know, the way that you win a nation, you win a nation's heart. And this particular congresswoman, she just, it's amazing. You're just in a humble way proud of the fact that it's like, that's who we need leaders just like her, that she loves her fellow congressmen. Men and women and senators and the president and wants to see God's will come to pass and praying for them and blessing them. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll be
awesome.
Back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Do you know there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America? The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Ministry where yeah. They wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Well, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing, it transferred.
I know, isn't that amazing? It never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution. Yeah, not a problem.
Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share
we're
them
just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we can it's like
Till, yeah.
That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student, yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the anyway?
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So back to all time favorite quotes. I can't even say the
thing. Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not Mr. say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes. Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
Yeah. Okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
Okay, we're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just yeah.
It's just
croaks?
You. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote. Very
Let's
serious,
get into serious mode.
Yeah, I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right yeah. now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, okay. So.
Away in a manger, no crib for a man, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas and bless your family this Christmas season, knowing that Jesus is the reason for the season. Joining me, of course, is Pat and John. I want to talk about in this last part of our program, don't forget we have four programs back-to-back. Make sure you catch them 24/7. Find out more at VFNTV.com. You know, what's a trillion look like? Because they're talking to us about you have what's the debt now? What's the
17 trillion?
Because 17 trillion, that means nothing to us,
mm-hmm.
but it means everything. By the way,
mm-hmm.
but once we find out what it means, so we got to begin to think about how can we explain 17 trillion? How can we? And so you start thinking about it. Think about 1 trillion. Think about instead of dollars, because if they're saying we have debt, mm-hmm. you know, a trillion, 17 trillion. So understand this. Instead of say dollars, let's just say seconds. Because it takes you for $1 trillion in debt, you have to pay $1 trillion back, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you got $17 trillion in debt, you got to pay $17 trillion in debt back. That's what that means. Debt means you got to pay it.
Right.
So let's forget about dollars. It's way over our head. It's more than I have on my account. How about?
No.
Okay, right. Just because you write more zeros, just because you write more zeros in your check register doesn't mean
it's there.
This generation doesn't know what check register is.
My son doesn't understand. Just write a check for it. Just
write a check for it.
Yeah, anyway, check. Open I thought account. You wanted
will,
money.
Yeah. Open account, we will. And so, so let's just say instead of to understand what kind of debt that we're in right now, and the Word of God lets us know that a borrower is slave to the lender. And the true debt, if you hear, hopefully there's a related article where Rick Joyner's talking about, you know, the true actual debt that we have is way more than, let's just talk about $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of dollars, let's just say seconds. I mean, think about it. Well, there's 60 seconds in a what? In a minute,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, let's just say you have 1 million seconds. Like you owe $1 million. Let's see, you owe 1 million seconds. How long is it going to take you to pay somebody if you used every moment of your life to pay that? How much time would it take you to pay back 1 million seconds? Put it that way. 12 days. In 12 days, 1 million seconds, you would have paid it back. Like, where's my Visa card? Let's go talk to China again. Let's go talk to Saudi Arabia, see what's going on. They probably going to loan us some more money. Okay, that's 1 million seconds. But okay, we're not talking millions. We're working our ways to trillions. So 12 days, 1 million seconds to pay it back. It takes 12 days. Okay, what about 1 billion? Because 1 billion is still less than the trillion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is 1 billion seconds? How long will 1 billion seconds, how much of my life? Because, you know, every minute has 60 seconds. So how many seconds of my life, how much time of my life would it take me to pay back $1 billion?
Mm-hmm.
32 years. For 1 billion.
Wow.
We ain't got 1 trillion yet. 12 days for 1 million. 32 years for 1 billion. This is what we all need to be looking just like this. Think about that.
Yeah.
And these guys are like, you know, a couple $100 billion. That's 32 years times. What are you doing?
That's right.
Okay, how long would it take for us to pay back 1 trillion seconds? 32,000 years.
Wow.
Trouble. How's it go? Trouble. Trouble's always. Think about it. 32,000 years. Even for the people who think we're a billion years old, that's a lot.
Wow.
But for the truth, about 6,000 plus years. It hadn't been around that long. And we're $17 trillion. We're 17 trillion seconds in debt. According to the debt clock right now. That means it would take us 554,000 years. 554,000 years. Jiminy Crickets! We're in trouble. And you have to understand is that there's some people borrow money and they're not planning on paying it back. And there's something going on right now that we're not. I know you're taking, you know, vitamins and stuff, but you're not going to live 554,000 years. Besides, you know, you're going to be old news by then. So I'm thinking, man. He says you can either serve money or you can serve God. You can't serve them both because you'll hate one and you'll love the other. America has made money and the things that money buys, they're God.
Mm-hmm.
And so God doesn't say, oh, I'm going to take it away from you. He says, I'm going to give you so much of it till it's coming out your nose.
Mm.
And so you have 554,000 years worth of seconds. And it's actually over 100 million, really. But there's this Greek poem that they found on the side of a building, a German poem that was carved in the side of an old church. And when it's translated, it's very powerful because it makes you really think about where we are today. I mean, think about it. If dollars were seconds, it would take us 12 days to pay back a million. It would take us 32 years to pay back a billion. And it'd take us 32,000 years to pay back a trillion. And we're $17 trillion plus dollars in debt. And they're sneezing and winking about a next stimulus package. But it makes you think about, have we made money our God? Well, this is what that poem says, and just rings so true. Let me just read this to you as we're coming to an end today. This is a poem that somebody wrote in German, a Christian, and they had it carved on the side of a building. It's been interpreted. This is a poem as if God is speaking to you. He says, "You call me mighty, then you do not honor me. You call me noble, then you do not serve me. You call me rich, then you do not ask me. You call me savior, then you don't even praise me. You call me shepherd, then you don't even follow me. You call me the way, then you don't even walk with me. You call me wise, then you don't even heed me. You call me the Son of God, then you don't even worship me. And when I abandon you, then don't you blame me." In the judgment of abandonment. If you have not yet heard and gone to the VFN TV store, is America under God's judgment? And one of the judgments you see in Romans chapter 1 is that all of a sudden God pulls back his blessing and his presence off of a nation. Not off his people, whoever his folks are, but all of a sudden a nation that God rose up, all of a sudden that nation comes down. The truly, it's not what you call him, it's what you do with him. It's not what you say with your lips, it's what you live out from your heart. It's your fruit that you're known by. He said, if my people will actually do what you say you do, then we will not be where we are. Understand, 554,000 seconds, 554,000 years to pay back $17 trillion worth of debt if it was a second. And there's still plenty more. Dear God, end abortion, forgive us for making money our God, and send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name.
We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses. We even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.